All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. I've been preaching on how to be saved and know it, how to live right, how to. And so let's pray that we'll learn how to do some things. You know, the problem with the average Christian, they don't know how to. They don't know how to do a lot of things. It's awful. It's awful. And our churches are so anemic. And every once in a while I look one up on the internet and I think this one's got a good name, it's gonna be good, and I'll be doggone if it ain't watered down milk. And it's just sad. They don't know how to. And so we need to learn how to. Now, there's two ways you can learn how to. You can learn the hard way.
Right.
That's the way we learn most things, isn't it? Trial and error. That's the way most of us learn. Or you learn the easy way and let the teacher teach you. And we've got the greatest teacher in the universe, the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. So why don't we tonight, let's let the teacher teach us. All right. All right. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and we'll start with verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from that the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, not just word of mouth, but a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's what we've got.
Amen.
Until the day dawn and a star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit carried them along as they spoke. They were moved to do that. That's why we call it the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. So how do we interpret the Bible? That's the question tonight. A lot of people read the Bible, they say, well, here's the way I interpret that. Or they'll say, well, this is what I think that means. Or they'll say, several people have said this means this or this means that. Well, I'm really... And God bless anybody that reads the Bible, but I'm really not interested in their interpretation. I'm not interested in what somebody thinks it means. I want to know what the Bible says.
Yes.
It's of no private interpretation. He just got through telling us that the Holy Ghost of God will teach us. And I'm going to show you some of that in just a minute. But we don't need a private interpretation. In other words, you have an interpretation, and you have an interpretation, you have an interpretation. Billy, you don't. I'm sorry, Billy, you don't. But since you call me ugly, you don't have nothing. Amen. But everybody cannot be right if everybody's got a different interpretation. That's where cults come from. That's where different sects of Christianity comes from, S-E-C-T-S, different groups of Christianity. That's where denominations come from. The Catholic Church follows the teachings of the popes. The Presbyterian churches follows the Bible plus the teachings of John Calvin and John Huss. The Methodist Church follows the teachings of the Bible and the Wesley brothers. And it goes on and on. The Lutheran Church follows the teachings of the Bible and Martin Luther. the Baptist church is supposed to, except for those now that claim to be Protestant going back into the Catholic church, but we're not Protestant. The Baptist church is supposed to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ in scripture alone. That's it. That's it. You see where the Jew messed up after God left them for 400 years. They got so bad, he just left them alone. He's silent for 400 years. So they began to write other books. And these rabbis began to teach in their books what they thought the Old Testament writings meant. But the problem was they'd always add to it. They'd add to it. Or they'd take away from it. And that's why I say you have to be careful with Bible commentaries.
Amen.
Several reasons. Who wrote it? What denomination does that person belong to? Who are they quoting? And old John R. Rice said one time, he said, you know, the Bible has shed a whole lot of light on them, their commentaries. So, how to interpret the Bible. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that the prophecy of the scripture is of no private interpretation. I'm going to show you just a couple ways, quick as I can. Simply, listen, always understand that when you read the Bible, read it literally unless you can't. Take it literally. If he says go into all the world and preach the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel. If he says believe and be baptized, believe and be baptized. Now, if he talks about spinning wheels and Isaiah had a vision and this one had a vision, take it as a vision from them and let them interpret it with you through other scriptures. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Simply, just read the Bible and say, well, what does that mean? It means what it says. Unless it cannot be simply taken. Then I'll tell you what you do. Keep reading. I did this when I first got saved. Nobody taught me how to read the Bible. I'd read it and I'd come to a problem that I couldn't understand. I'd say, well, man, but I'm going to keep on reading. So I'd keep on reading. And as I would read somewhere along the line, it would explain what I did not understand when I was reading back there. That may be another book before it explained it. It may be in the Old Testament before it explained it, but sooner or later, I'd run across something and I'd say, that's what that meant. It's of no private interpretation. Now, I'll give you my opinion. I said, well, you know, I really don't know that the Bible says anything on that, and here's my opinion. But my opinion, really, I'm fallible. You're fallible, you know. And so we'll get more than that. But simply take it as it's read, okay? Now look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 2. Now we're talking about how to interpret the Bible. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, how do I interpret the Bible? Well, the first thing I do is get filled up with it. I hunger for it. I desire, just like a little baby. That baby wants that bottle or milk. And that baby wants that milk. And it does not understand where it came from. And it couldn't explain what it is, you know, how it's made. But it keeps drinking the milk because it satisfies that baby. Well, when you first get saved, you read your Bible every day, and it will satisfy you. Even if you don't understand what you're reading, it will feed you. And as you get stronger, just like that baby grows, pretty soon you can go to some applesauce. You ever try to eat those jars of baby food, especially the green beans? The devil made that. That's awful stuff. Man, I couldn't. I felt sorry for our babies when we tried to feed them stuff like that. I said, get something off the table. This stuff's awful. Look, frequently, every day, you're to study the Bible. You're to read it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to understand it. I'm saying you're to read it. I never did understand everything they told me at school. But I sit and endured it, amen? Yeah. And then later on, I learned it. Now, look at Psalm 1-3. Psalm 1-3. In Psalm 1-3. Now, you read it simply. You read it frequently. And now look at Psalm 1:3. In verse 3, he says, chapter 1, verse 3, he says this, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." When you read the word of God, like that tree sitting beside that water, it's not going anywhere. Do you know why that tree doesn't move? That's where it gets its water. That's where it gets its water. So if you'll sit down somewhere and just be still, like a tree, that tree don't think of nothing but that water. That's all it thinks of, sucking up water out of that ground. That's all it lives for. Now, if we'll take the living water, the Word of God, we'll take the Word of God, and we'll meditate on it. Just sit there. Read it simply. Read it frequently. And just sit there and soak it up. Don't try to figure everything out. Yeah. It'll come.
Yes.
Don't try. It ain't time to figure it out yet. Just soak it up. Meditate on it. Okay? Now, look at Psalm 119. Most all of you read a lot of Psalm. Everybody likes Psalm 119. And you ought to, because the whole chapter of Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. The whole thing is about the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119, verse 97 of Psalm 119. That's in the middle of your Bible. That's easy to find. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh how love I thy law. You notice the old English is backwards sometimes. Oh how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, that's those old people, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments. Now he's talking all about the Bible. This is the Bible he's talking about, the word of God. And I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now, here, I'm going to interpret the Bible. I'm going to do it simply. I'm going to do it frequently. I'm going to meditate it. And I'm going to do it in love. Now, I've read a lot of books. I've always liked to read. I think we were talking the other day to my daughter and my grandkids, and they were talking about reading books, and one of them said something about, well, I don't want to read it again. And I said, I got books up there I've read 5 times. And I'm not even talking about Christian books. I'm talking about things like Tom Sawyer, 180 days around the world, 180 days, and 80,000 leagues under the sea or something like that, you know. And boy, I got books. I just read them over and over and over and over. And I love it. And it's like new every time I read them. But the Bible's even more so. I've read the Bible. I'll read it tomorrow. I'll read it, and I'll love it every time I read it. I never have read the Bible and said, I'm tired of this. I came up on a yard sale one day, probably 20-something years ago, and this man was selling. He called it his library. He had books. I mean, he had tables and tables of books. And all of them were Christian books and commentaries on the Bible and some old Bibles. And I said, why are you selling these? He said, well, I used to be a preacher, but I retired. I said, well, why did you retire? He said, I run out of things to preach. What? I said, how'd you do that? He said, well, I've read all these books. I've preached everything in them. I said, yeah, but the Bible never runs out.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if he was a preacher or not, do you? I love, read it in love. Love the Bible. It's a love letter from God anyway. Amen. To sinners like me and you. Now, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll give you time to get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Most of you already know a lot of these verses anyway. Now, how do I interpret the Bible? Simply, frequently, I meditate in it, and I love it. That's how I interpret it. And then, but there's some ways that I should not read the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, as straightening things out, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I don't read the Bible for controversy. I don't. I read it for profit. It profits me. It's good for me. The Bible's good for me.
Yes.
And that's why I study it. It's because it's good for me. I don't study it to straighten people out. People come to this church and some of them think that preacher's been studying on this all week to straighten me out. They never even entered my mind. Really. I don't think about straightening people. When I'm working on a sermon and reading the Bible, I don't think about you. I'm trying to see what God says. It is not for controversy. I know preachers that had that'll preach sermons just to get people's attention. And they'll title it so to get your attention. You remember Y2K? And all those preachers preaching that computers are going to shut down, the world's going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Yep.
I said, what you preaching is not in the Bible. And it's not going to come true. And people ain't going to listen to you anymore. But it drew big crowds.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of them do that. See, a lot of them have preached those controversial subjects in order to draw attention. But I don't read the Bible for that. I read the Bible to profit me.
Amen.
And then I share with you what he did to me. See, I let him straighten me out first. I need it. So I read it simply. I read it frequently. I meditate on it and I love it. But I don't do it for controversy. I do it to profit me. And if it profits me, it'll profit others when I share it too. Well, preacher, how do you interpret the Bible? I don't. I read it. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Brother Fortson or one of them or Billy or one of them told me the other week, said, preacher said, sometimes you're looking out there, ain't nobody doing nothing. They're just looking at you because you've got them so astounded. They think, I didn't know he knew that about me. But then here's another one, Matthew 5:6. I know you know this one. Matthew 5:6. Why? How do you interpret the Bible? Simply, frequently, every day. I meditate on it. I do it in love. I do it for my own profit, but I also do it this way. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I do it because I have a conscious need of righteousness.
Yeah.
I need righteousness. And the only way I'm going to find righteousness is in the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm not righteous. And without Him, I'd be a mess. So I search the Scriptures and I look how to be righteous and I let Him teach me righteousness by studying His Word. Now I don't try to interpret it, which is best and which is worse, who's best, who's worse, who's the worst sinner, who's the best sinner. No sir, I just go look at it as a sinner saved by grace looking to be a better Christian. And then people, they'll say, well, you're too judgmental, you read the Bible wrong. I don't read the Bible to judge. I read the Bible to find righteousness, and when I find righteousness, I try to do it, and then if you don't do it and that convicts you, that's your problem. That ain't mine.
Yes.
And I see it as a need. I have a need. I hunger for righteousness. I remember when Holroyd first came here. I could tell he was hungry. He looked like one of those old bums on the side of the road with a sign that says, I'm lying, but I say I work for food. No, he didn't look that way. But I could tell he was hungry. And I asked him what brought him here. And he said he found it on the internet and he got fed.
Amen.
And so that's how you interpret the Bible. I have a need and I'm going to read the Bible to find out what it says that would feed my need. Well, ain't that right? Amen. Amen. And so, I do it with the consciousness of my needs. And then Hebrews 11:6, all of you know this one, I know you know this one, and I hate not to try to quote it. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You want to interpret the Bible, read it by faith.
Yes.
By faith. When I first got saved, somebody told me, said, go in your room every day and spend about an hour by yourself.
Yes,
and before you read the Bible, say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. I didn't know what that meant. I did not. Now, I knew he wasn't going to do it here, but I didn't know what that meant. So I began to read the Bible and things would just jump out at me. He was speaking to me. And so, by faith, if you'll read the Bible by faith, believing it is inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God, every word, every jot, every tittle, there's not a period out of place, there's not a T that's not crossed, you read it by faith that God's trying to tell you something, and that's how you get to be a good Christian, is you read the Bible by faith, and then you won't need an interpreter. The Holy Spirit lives in you, will interpret it. I feel sorry for these people that go to these churches where somebody stands up and says, yabba dabba do, and then some other guy stands up and says, I want to interpret that. Well, I didn't trust that guy. Why do you think I'm going to trust the other one?
Right.
You just put two more in the picture I'm not going to trust. Amen? I've got the Word of God. What do I need him to do that for? And usually it's something outside the Bible anyway.
Yeah.
And so I don't need somebody to speak an unknown language and then somebody else tell me what he said when I can go straight to the author of the book and read what he said.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's a gift. You want a gift of interpretation. That's your gift right there. Read the Bible by faith and you will get something out of it. Most people say, well, preacher, I don't read through the Bible because I always get that part where so-and-so was born and he begat and he died and so-and-so was born and he lived 150 years and he begat so-and-so and he died and he begat so-and-so and so-and-so and they begat so-and-so. And so I just get bogged down in the so-and-sos. Well, here's the message in all of that. It's the point that a man wants to die. I don't care if you live 50 years or 350 years or 900 years. It's the point that a man wants to die. And between here and death, you might have some children. But one day you're going to die.
Right.
I just interpreted that for you, didn't I?
Yeah.
That's real good. Now, if you was a Jew, you'd need a whole lot more than that because you want to prove where you come from. But I come from Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, by faith, I read the Bible. I've never read anything in the Bible that I said, no, it can't be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never. Not since I've been saved. I'm not saying I liked everything I read. I don't. Me and God don't always agree.
Right.
We don't. If you're honest, you'd say the same thing. I mean, there's some people I'd have killed them yesterday. And there's some I wouldn't. But me and him don't always agree. And there's some things in there I still don't understand. But let me tell you something. 100 years ago, Christians didn't understand what you understand in the Bible now because as time passed, it come to pass and now we see it and they never saw it. So I read the Bible by faith, in faith. And by the way, he gave me the faith to believe it.
Yes.
I don't work that up. He gave it to me. Because I'd read it before I got saved and I didn't think nothing about it. I thought, that's crazy. But now by faith, I read it and every bit of it, I believe it.
Amen.
Now, alright, then how do I, simply, frequently meditate on, do it in love, not for controversy, but to profit myself, with a conscious of what I need. And then I read it by faith. And then here, it will explain itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My goodness, I am preaching a lot short tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all have time to get home before the next medical report from the World Health Organization. They run one about every 15 minutes. By the way, you know what? They get money doing that, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, we just gave them we just got $8.5 billion. And did you know $2 or $3 billion is going to the World Health Organization? So that fat cat sitting in my bush. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, the governors in the states are getting the same. And the colleges. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 13, if you will. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And Ephesians says he's dead in trespasses and sin, and the Holy Spirit don't live in him, so he can't understand it. But you see, you and I, he says, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, the Scriptures teach themselves. It teaches itself. Here's the problem. Unsaved people, without the Spirit of God, they'll read something, and then the first thing they'll think, well, that's impossible. A man rose from dead, or that's impossible. A cripple walking that was born crippled, or that's impossible. This is impossible. And they'll get to a hard spot that they cannot logically and naturally understand, and they quit and say the Bible's not true. But you and I, who have the Holy Spirit live in us, we read and we say, glory to God, what a truth. And then we read on, the Holy Spirit says, well, that's what I was talking about way back yonder. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And God puts it all together in our mind and in our heart. And that's how we interpret Scripture. I don't need a pope. There's no hope in the pope. If he don't get saved, he's going to die and go to a devil's hell.
Yeah.
Just like all religious people will.
Yes.
I don't need a priest. I have the high priest sitting on the right hand of the Father, Jesus himself.
Yes.
And why would I go to a man that wears a gown with his collar backwards?
Yeah.
And they call him Father and he ain't never been married. Amen. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit teach me.
Yes.
Now, I go to preachers and I go to teachers and I read people that I like and I listen to people I like. And if you listen to me, you'll hear a whole lot of preachers. You older folks, you know, you might hear a little bit of this and a little bit of that one, because that's who I learned under, you know, and that's how I learned a lot of things I know. And so it's the same way with you in any area. Somebody taught, when we hear you play the piano, we hear somebody else. It ain't just you we hear. Somebody helped you and put that in you. And the same way as Christians, we have people that teach us, and God called teachers and he called preachers and they teach us. But our number one authority is the Word of God. Because any man can be wrong. Any woman can be wrong. A Christian with the best intentions can be wrong. I mean, we've got people in Catholic Church, wonderful intentions, that are wrong.
Yeah.
Got people in the Methodist Church with wonderful intentions, and they're wrong. In the Presbyterian and Baptist churches, and they're wrong. And they got good intentions. That's why I tell you, my final authority, where do I go? Where's the last place that I go to find truth?
That's right.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I may ask your opinion. I may go to a preacher or a teacher who's been around longer than me. Of course, as old as I am, you're not going to get many of them anymore. But I may go to one of them, you know, and listen to see what they say. But my final authority, the place that is truth above everything else, is the Word of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture, Scripture with Scripture. And that's how you interpret the Bible. Now, look at John 14. John 14. You aren't going to believe it, but this is my last verse. John 14. I want you to get home before they shut the city down and quarantine us all. John 14, look at verse 16. Now, here's how I interpret the Bible. Simply, if it makes sense, take it. Frequently, every day, meditate on it, fall in love with it, do it for my own profit, not for controversy or to straighten somebody out. I do it knowing I have a need. I do it by faith through the Holy Spirit. I compare scripture with scripture. And then last but not least, John chapter 14, if you're there, verse 16, John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of what? Truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Amen. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In you. You see that? Now, look at John 16, verse 13. There's a lot of people that come on Sunday morning really need this. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, that's a name, the Spirit of truth has come, he will do what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now that's the word of God.
Yes.
If you ever see a tent up or a sign that says Holy Ghost meeting, don't stop. Serious. He don't talk about himself. The Holy Ghost does not talk about himself. Now, we talk about him in teaching and things like that. But the Holy Ghost does not. He has come to teach the truth of Jesus Christ. He has come to interpret the truth of the Word of God to believers. Jesus said he's come to convict and to convert and to comfort. That's why he comes. To convict people of their sins. How you do that? By the word of God.
Yes.
To comfort, to convert. How do you do that? By the word of God. And to comfort. How do you do that? By the word of God. He does not brag on himself. He brags on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's how you interpret the scriptures. By the Spirit of God. Now, if the God moved on the face of the deep and he created when he did that, well, when he moved on these men by the Holy Ghost, he put the words for them to write down.
That's right.
That's how we got the Word of God. It's as much a miraculous creation as the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean.
That's
good. Yep. But people don't look at it like that. They just look at it as a religious book with doctrines and laws. And that's not it at all. The Spirit of God moved these men and to pin it down.
Amen.
And a lot of times I hear people say, well, Paul said, and I know what you're saying, but Paul didn't say that. The Holy Ghost said that and told Paul to write it down. And if Paul didn't write it down, he told somebody else to write it down. And so this is a supernatural book. And it's written by a supernatural being.
Amen.
And it is written for supernatural people who have been born again supernaturally. They are kept supernaturally. And one day we will be changed supernaturally.
Right.
We're no longer natural people. As far as the world's concerned, we're unnatural. But he says the natural man understands not things of the Spirit. Amen. And we've always been accused of being a little strange anyway, haven't we? We're peculiar people. Pilgrims passing through. And here's our rudder. It's guiding us all through this world. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout right there. Amen. But that's how you interpret the scriptures. And I hope that helps somebody on Facebook. I hope it helps somebody on the internet. We record these and put them on the internet. But I hope it encouraged, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I hope it encouraged you to share that, okay? And let's go out here this week. Let's don't look for somebody else to tell us what the Bible says. Let's read the Bible.
Yes.
Let's study it.
Yes.
Let's meditate on it. Let's love it.
Yes.
And let it water you and let it increase you and grow you and comparing scripture to scripture and scripture to scripture. I don't care if you listen to some preacher. I listen to some preachers. I don't agree with everything they say, but I don't take offense when I think they're wrong. I just search scripture to see what's right. Thank you all for coming. Let's stand.